Good to see each of you here this evening. As I was getting the computer ready this evening, I looked out over the crowd and I happened to think that probably saying what I need to say is not nearly as difficult as remembering all the other things that I've been told. I'm supposed to stand up straight and hold my shoulders up and always do that. I'm supposed to smile while I talk to you, and I'm supposed to look at you, not look at the wall back there somewhere, but look at you. And when you get to preaching, sometimes you forget those things. So if I slump my shoulders or I look at the wall or something like that, just ignore that and let's listen to what I've got to say. It is good to be with you this evening, though. I'd like for us this evening to think about be separate. In the book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter 6, and verse 17, Paul says, "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." And so, we are in some sense to be separate from the world around us or from somebody. And so, as we think about separate from whom, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about why be separate. We're going to talk about how can we be separate. And these are the three points we really will deal with this evening. Separate from whom? Well, we're to be separate from the world. Separate from the people that live apart from God, people that live apart from the will of God. And so we are to be separated from them. Remember Paul said, evil companionships corrupt good morals. And so that's one of the reasons why, and that is something that is to be a part of our lives. But at the same time, we have to continue to live in this world. We're to be in the world, but we're not to be out of the world. We're not to live like we are a part of it. We are to be separate from it. But at the same time, we can't just go out of the world. We have to be here and deal with it. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says there, I wrote to you not to associate with immoral people. And he's talking here actually to the church who had immoral people within. And he says, because if I'd been talking about those people out there, you'd have to go out of the world. Well, there is a sense in which we have a special relationship with those in the church, and he says that we are to withdraw from them, but at the same time, he says, we've got to live in this world. We're not going to be apart from the world in that sense. But why are we to be separate? Well, one of the things that I think we have to understand is if we're going to be separate, it's not for the sake of being separate. That's not the end goal. That's not the reason behind it. That's not the purpose of it. There are people that are different just for the sake of being different. A lot of times, especially young people, have a tendency to do that. They will dress in a way or fix their hair in a way or other things. And the only real reason that they do it, not because it really looks good or because it's comfortable, it's just to be different. And I don't know, some of you may have done that. I did when I was young. And so sometimes we're different just for the sake of being different. And that's not a good reason. There are religious people that they act the way they do, not because they have some strong conviction that what they're doing is the way it has to be as much as it is. They just want to be different from the rest of the world around them. And that's not the reason why we're to be separate. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, there, verses 14 through 18, Paul says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, just as God said, 'I'll dwell in them and walk among them, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. I'll welcome you. I'll be a father to you. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Now, as you look at that passage of Scripture about why we're to be separate, notice he says we're to be separate because we've been made righteous. We have been forgiven of our sins. We are not a part of those who are unrighteous. We are part of those who are righteous. And so we are to live differently because we are righteous. Not necessarily that we do everything right every time, but because God has made us righteous through His forgiveness, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are to be separate because we are light. We're not darkness. Before we become a Christian, we are living in darkness. We are subject to the prince of darkness, to Satan. But now that we are Christians, we belong to Christ. And therefore, we are in the light. And so, we are to be separate because we are, in our very nature, we are different from those that are in the world. We are believers. We belong to Christ, and we are believers in Jesus Christ. And so he says, well, there's nothing in common between a believer and an unbeliever. We're the people of God. We're not the people that belong to the world, but we are the people of God. We're the temple of the living God. God dwells in us and lives in us. And so for that reason, we are to be separate. We are to be different. And we are the children of God. He says, I'll be your father, you'll be my sons and daughters. And so as you read through that passage, Paul not only says to be separate, as we read in our text, but he gives the reasons why we're to be separate. And he says, these are the reasons, and every one of them are because we are different in the very nature of the world around us. Our nature is not their nature. As children of God, as those who belong to God, we are inherently different, and because of that difference, we are to be separate. We're to maintain that difference. Since we belong to God, then we're to become like Him. In Ephesians 4, he says there in verses 20 through 24, you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you've heard of Him, been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. He says, here's this old self, this way you used to be. You don't do that anymore. You get rid of that. And in the place of it, you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. And so he says, here you were at one time, you were living in the world and you were a part of the world and you just lived like the world. Nobody could tell you any difference in you and anybody else. But now that you have become a child of God, he says, you now have put off that old self, you've put on the new self, you have been recreated into a new person, and as a new person, you are now made in the likeness of God, created in righteousness, and created in holiness of truth. And so he says, you are different, and as a different person, then you are to be separate from those that are the way you used to be. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, coming to Him as a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. Peter says, God is building you up so that you will be something special, something different. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him shall not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. For those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, for they stumbled because they're disobedient to the Word, and to this doom they were also appointed. And then he says, but you are a chosen race. Here's these unbelievers, and they don't accept Christ. But he says, you're different. And the reason you're different is because you are a chosen race. You are God's special chosen race of people. You're a royal priesthood. The priests are the only ones who could come to God. But as the children of God, we all are priests. But not just priests, we are royal priests. You remember under the Old Testament law, the priest came from the Levites. But the kings came from Judah. You didn't have priests who were kings. But he says, today you're different. Because you are God's special people, just like the Jews were then. You're God's special people now. But you are a royal priesthood. You are sons of the king, and at the same time, you are priests. A people for God's own possession. In other words, you are special to Him. He holds you special. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Remember a while ago we were talking about We're not darkness anymore, we're light. He says He's called you out of that darkness into His marvelous light. You once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Behold, I urge you as aliens and strangers. We hear a lot today about aliens, don't we? Illegal aliens. We hear that term used an awful lot. Sometimes people talk about illegal immigrants. And we talk about those that have immigrated. Well, that's what He's saying here. He's saying, you don't really belong in this land. You don't really belong in this place where you're living. You see, your citizenship, my citizenship, it's not here. We sing the song, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. And that song is saying just exactly what He's saying here as aliens and strangers. We don't belong here. This is not really our home. This is not what this world is about. And so, as aliens, as strangers, He says, keep yourself separate. He says, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust. Don't live like the world around you, which wage war against the soul. And so we are to be different because God has made us different. We're to be separate because we are different. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 5, Paul said, if then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. And I think this is probably the key to the whole thing is this passage here. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed to Him in glory. Now, if Christ is our life, if we live to be belong to Him, then it's going to affect the way we live and it's going to change the way we live. We're not going to be like the world around us. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Now, keep in mind that Paul said, I'm not saying that you've got to get out of the world. He's not suggesting that we live in some kind of monastery or that we live in some commune. That's not what he's suggesting. He says, I understand you've got to be in the world. You've got to deal with people that live in the world. But at the same time, you don't have to be of the world. You don't have to be like the world because we are different. And since we are different in our nature, we are to be different in our behavior, and that in itself will separate us from those that are around us. We're to be separate from the world. And the reason is because we belong to God and we are His and we have been changed to be like Him. But how can we be separate? Well, it requires a will to be separate. You've got to want to. We're not going to be separate if we don't want to. It also requires effort on our part. And sometimes requires a lot of effort on our part. It means that we have to change our heart. We have to change our motive. Change our life. It's not enough just to change our heart if our life doesn't change. It takes all of it. We have to start with our heart. And we start with our motives. And then we let it go into the way that we live, the things we do and the things that we don't do. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, this I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they have become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. And then in Ephesians 2, he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them too we all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and mind, were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We were by nature children of wrath. We are now by nature children of God. But what makes us separate? Well, it starts with our attitude. Colossians 3, Paul says, it's on account of these things the wrath of God will come, and in them you once walked, you were living in them, now also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And so he says, we don't live that way anymore like we used to live. In Colossians 3:14, he says, beyond all these things, put on love. You see, we are to be different because we now have the love of God. We have God's love in us, and we love even as God loved, because God is love, 1 John 4:8. And so we love because God loves us, and we let that love go to those that are around us, and we will be different. If we demonstrate love in our lives, we will be different. Paul describes love in 1 Corinthians 13. Beginning of verse 4, he says, love is patient. That we are to be loving as God is love. And if we're going to love as God is love, then we need to learn to be patient. But he also says love is kind. Sometimes it's not easy to be kind, is it? People do things and say things and you immediately think of something that you could say back to them that's not very kind. But love is kind. Love is not jealous. There's no room for jealousy in love. Love is not brag. It's not arrogant. Not act unbecomingly, but rather it does what's appropriate, doesn't seek its own. It's not selfish, as we talked about this morning. Love is not easily provoked. It's not taken into account a wrong suffered. Somebody does something to us that's not right, and rather than getting all huffed up and getting our feelings hurt and acting ugly about it, love says, just let it go. Don't worry about it. So what? Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And this is the kind of love that we're supposed to have as children of God. In Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is listed there. He said the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, it's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we learn to love as God loves us, but we have to have hearts that are filled with love. And when we do, then we can have the peace of God in our hearts. And this peace of God is something that's special. In Ephesians 4, notice what he says there. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If we're going to have peace, we've got to have love. And we've got to have humility. James describes this peace that comes from above as the wisdom of God in James 3. He says the wisdom from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so we can have the peace of God in our hearts and in our lives if we are separate. We are separate from the world because we trust God instead of being filled with worry and being filled with anxiety. The world around us is just filled with worry. It's filled with anxiety. But as Christians, we're not to have that. Rather, in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, therefore, do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. We get older, this body wears out. But he said, inside we're being renewed. We're just like young people inside. He says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If I can truly learn to fix my eyes on the eternal, then I have no reason to worry about anything related to the temporal. You see, I know God's in control. And God's going to take care of it. Tonight, have you separated yourself from the world? If not, it's because you don't belong to God. But you can. And you can have hope when this life is over if you'll come to Jesus in faith and repent of your sins and separate yourself from them. And be baptized into Christ and He'll save you. Tonight, if you're here and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand.